Holy Father, we come before you today. Lord, we need your Spirit to move. Lord, we are asking that you would meet us. Lord, meet us as I speak, Lord, that you would move with power and that it would be from you. Lord, I pray that your will would be done here this session. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt defeated or stuck in sin? I know I have. In fact, there was a time in my life where I felt like no matter what I did, I always was going to deal and struggle with one specific sin. I would pray about it. I would ask the Lord to help me, and it just felt like I was stuck. Have you ever felt that way? Do you guys feel that way? Specific sin issues in your life where no matter what you do, it just feels like you can't get out of it. Well, we're going to read a passage that really, first of all, the Lord used in my life to set me free. But secondly, it's a passage that details a pathway for victory over sin. So, Tony talked yesterday about who we are in Christ. And he did a really good job of explaining that our identity is found in Jesus Christ. We've been placed into him. And some of the things he said is that we don't want to sin anymore. We should have victory over sin. So the question today is, why don't we experience victory? Why don't we experience victory? Why do we struggle with sin if who we are in Christ has given us victory over that? So there are three main reasons why we still struggle with sin. Number one is ignorance. Number two is unbelief. And number three is willful sinning. And this passage will break down and explain how it combats each of those areas. So if you would turn to Romans 6, 1 through 14, and I'll read it. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So before we go into this passage, it's important to get the overall context of the book. Paul is, in this passage, immediately addressing a question. So the question is, why? And that comes up from the previous chapters. So there's a lot better outlines out there on the book of Romans. I just kind of put together a quick one that kind of quickly summarizes everything. But this kind of gives you a picture of what he's been talking about, what he is talking about, and what he's about to talk about. So the book of Romans was written by Paul, and he wrote it to the church at Rome, hence the name Romans. He had never actually been there, and this is just before Paul is going to be arrested. And then eventually he will make his way to Rome, and he'll make it through imprisonment. So that's kind of what's going on. And the core verse of this book is found in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And the truth is that verse is the key to the rest of the book. Every other passage is really just a commentary on what that means. So the first part of Romans is Christ for us, Romans 1 through 5. And that details that we are under condemnation without Christ. The first three chapters is really hammering home that there are none righteous, that we in our own state are under wrath. We under our own state seek to go the other direction, the opposite direction of God. But the second half of Romans 3 through Romans 5 details the salvation that Christ has offered. That he came, that he satisfied the law, that he might take us from in Adam, which means condemnation and death, and he has brought us over into Christ for all who might believe in him, that you would have eternal life and righteousness and justification, that you are declared righteous. So that's Christ for us. That's Romans 1 through 5. Now what we're talking about, you can see the arrow, is Christ in us. So immediately following this section, Romans 1 through 5, the question is asked. So Paul explains that we have been justified by faith. That because of the work of Christ, our sin has been forever blotted out. That we are legally before God, for all who have trusted in Christ, completely righteous. That where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. So then the question asks, if we sin and it doesn't matter, grace abounds. And if we have been forever forgiven of all our sins, why not just continue in sin? Why not just keep on sinning, that grace might increase? And that's the question that's asked right as he gets into this passage. And he refutes it pretty quickly. But a quick way of just breaking down this passage is no. Romans 6 through 1 through 10, it combats ignorance, your mind. Then number two, it should be two, not one, one, one. But anyway, number two, consider. That combats unbelief or your heart. And then number three, present. Combats desire or your will. If you like alliteration, I'm not super amazed by alliteration, but some people do. If you like alliteration, you could also say, recognize, reckon, respond. So, depending on how you want to do it. All right. So, let me get back into the passage. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Paul refutes this question of why not just sin? Why not just continue in excess sin that grace might increase? May it never be. That's emphatic in the Greek. May it not even be thought of, never considered. Why? Why? Because we have died to sin. Notice in verse 2, died is in the past tense. It's not dying to sin. So in this passage, that is not talking about sanctification. This is a past tense. This is something that has happened. We're not dying to sin. We have died to sin. So, question then, okay, if this is not constant, current, this is a past tense event, then does that mean that we should be sinless? No, because he did not say, we have died to sinning. He said, we have died to sin. Okay, so then what is sin? What is he talking about? Sin is the ruling principles in our lives. Sin is the ruling principle in our life, in this passage. He's talking about the authority that sin has over us. In this passage, in 21 verses, or 23 verses, there are 21 references to obedience, to slaves, to masters, and it's all about, it's picturing the authority. Who has authority over your life? Where is the authority? So, how? How have we died to sin? All right. Do you not know? And there's the key verse. There's the key word for this section. Do you not know? Paul combats this issue of sinning with this knowledge, right knowledge. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So at this point you're hearing this, and if I were just reading this and saying it as it's written, the first thought is that came to my mind when I was growing up is, why is he talking about baptism? I got baptized once when I was 13, and now I'm done, you know? It's a one and done baptism, right? Well, there are two types of baptism, and they both are one and done. So I want to clarify that. But there are two types of baptism that's described in the Bible. So the first one is physical baptism. We get that picture. We understand what that is. You know, many of you have probably been baptized, and so you understand what that is. So So what's the second type? Well, the second type is spiritual baptism. So what is that? So just quickly read so you know that I'm not just pulling this out of nowhere. Matthew 3:11 says, "As for me, I baptize," this is John the Baptist speaking, "as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not able to remove the sandals of his feet. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Okay, so spirit baptism, that's something that's mentioned. And then 1 Corinthians 12:13, if I can get to it. 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So clearly, he's talking about taking us from one thing and putting us into something else. So the word baptism literally means immersed. So a good way, or placed into. So a good way is read this passage with me again, and let's replace baptism with placed into. That's what that root word is meaning. It means placed into. Or do you not know that all of us who have been placed into Christ Jesus have been placed into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by being placed into his death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So you see, the point is not that you've been baptized physically, but that you have been taken out of something and you've been placed into Christ. So real quick, I want to mention this quote, which I kind of skipped over. "Christian living depends on Christian learning. Duty is always founded on doctrine. If Satan can keep a Christian ignorant, he can keep him impotent." Impotent means powerless, by the way, just in case you're struggling with that word. So another way of putting this is that right Christian learning leads to right believing, which leads to right living. All right, so, sorry, I just wanted to get that quote out there. But all right, so back to what we were saying. Whoa. This looked good before, and then it's not good anymore. Anyway, that's what happens when you switch PowerPoint projections really fast. So, all right, so I'll tell you what it said. How about that? Instead of, so no visuals, apparently. all right, so who were we in before? Well, Romans 5 details that we were in Adam. It goes through and it says that, where are we? "It was through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men." And it details that you're either in Adam, every person, every one of you. We're going to skip this slide so you're not paying attention to that. That looks bad. every one of you, all of us in this whole world, we're either in two places. Number one, we're either in Adam. And in Adam, there is condemnation. We are slaves to sin. We are ruled by sin. Or you're in Christ. And in Christ, there is justification. You've been given righteousness. You have been set free from the power of sin, and you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to now live a new life. So what is this new life? Well, everywhere Jesus went physically, we now go spiritually. So when Jesus died on that cross, you were placed into him. If you have believed in him, if you have become a Christian, if you are not a Christian, this is not true for you. If you have not placed your faith in Christ, this does not apply to you. And I'd appeal to you to place your faith in him. If you want to find victory over your sin, and if you're not going to find, you're never going to find it without being in Christ. So let me explain, though, what's going on. You've been placed into Christ Jesus. You were over here. You were in the old man. And now something fundamental has happened where you've been shifted to this new side. When Christ died, you were with him. You were united with him. You're united with Christ, which means wherever he goes physically, you go spiritually. This changes everything, everything about the Christian life. When Christ died, you died with him. You died with him. But in that death, there was also a separation. Death can mean separation. There was a spiritual separation, and you were set out, taken out of Adam, taken out of that condemnation, taken out of sin ruling you. And you now have been placed into Christ Jesus, placed into his life. So when he raised to new life, guess what happened? You received new life. You received power. We now live in the same resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power that was alive in him once he rose is in you currently through the Holy Spirit. It's empowering you to defeat sin, to say no to sin. It's empowering you to live the Christian life. And then another thing on top of that, when Christ ascended, guess what happened to you? Spiritually, in Christ, you ascended. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Guess where you are? Spiritually, in Christ, at the right hand of the Father. Able to commune with him, able to fellowship with him, able to talk with him in a way that you couldn't before, because you are in Christ. This changes everything. So verse 6, knowing this, that our old self, so what was our old self? It's Adam, who we were in Adam. That is our old self, was crucified with him. Once again, past tense, not crucifying, crucified. This is done. It's done. You've been set free from Adam, set free from condemnation. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So once again, body of sin, that's who we were. But I want to think about this word here. Might be done away with. So this passage, it says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Then it says that. That's a reason. That's a purpose. Why were we crucified with him? In order that, for the purpose, that we would be set free, that our body of sin might be done away with. In order that, there's another one, that we should be no longer be slaves to sin. So what does this mean, be done away with? Well, the word actually, in Greek, specifically talks about stripping away of power. So think about this. It's saying that this has happened in order that sin might be stripped of its power from your life. That it might be taken away. This means that you now have the ability to say no to sin. This means that you and I are no longer controlled by sin. Sin no longer has power over you, which means that you and I can say no and refute that sin. So going back to what I was saying, I was stuck in sin, just beaten up, discouraged. Have you been there? I know I have. What I needed to know is that I had new life, that I was dead to sin, that sin's authority was stripped from my life. You're not a mere mortal. You're not. You have new power, the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ life in you to say no to sin and yes to God, to defeat sin. What I needed to know was that I was no longer in Adam, but I was now in Christ. So I'm going to give a quick illustration of this. Picture this girl, right? She lives in this cheap side of town. Her mom left her father because he was a drunkard. And now she's in this situation where the dad is basically telling her to work double shifts, work triple shifts, provide all the money so that he can use it on alcohol. This is what's going on. On the other side of town, complete other side, there is this rich, extremely wealthy young man. And this extremely young, wealthy young man has nothing in common with this lady over here, except that he's fallen in love with her. So what happens? All right. Well, despite all of his friends and family telling him it's probably not a good idea, he goes and he marries this girl. Question. Who is this girl now? Legally, she is no longer who she used to be. But legally, she is now Mrs. whatever this guy's last name is. Right? So she's been taken from here, and she's been placed into this man. Same is true for you and I. Same is true for you and I. Another thing to think about is think about an envelope. And think about a stamp. Anywhere that letter goes in the world, that envelope is on that stamp. So just as, think about it this way. So if the envelope could be in an airplane, you're in that, if you're the stamp, you're with that letter. You're with it there. Anywhere Christ goes, you go. So when Christ died, you died with him. When Christ was raised, you were raised with him. That new life, that life of Jesus Christ is flowing through you to say no to sin, to say yes to him. So that leads us to number two. Consider. Consider. This combats unbelief. So then the question is this. Okay, you're telling me, I get that, okay, but I've heard this before, right? I know I'm dead to sin. I know I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. I know that. So why don't I experience victory? Why am I still stuck in this sin? Well, there is a difference between knowing something and believing it. There's a difference between knowing something to be true and taking hold of it. So let me read this verse. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the first command in all of Romans. So you've gone six chapters of this is where you are. You're in this state. You're in this state, believing God. You are destined for judgment. Unless you are in Christ, then you have life in him. You're no longer dead to sin. You're alive to God in Christ Jesus. So with all of that, now, believe it. That's a command. Believe it. Claim it. Consider or reckon. It does not mean just to contemplate. You know, consider something. When I consider something, I'm like, yeah, I might consider that, which means I'm not doing it. If someone asks me and I say, I'll consider that, that probably means I don't want to say no right now, but I'm going to say no later. Right? That is not what this verse is saying. It is not to contemplate. But in Greek, it's to count in it. To count in it. Take hold of it. Believe it to be true. Grasp it. Take it. Claim it. We must claim this. So let me explain this a little bit, real quick. Negatively, this verse has a negative side and a positive side. There's a putting off and a putting on, just like we saw. You're no longer in Adam, but you're in Christ. So there's a putting off and a putting on. This passage right here also has it. Negatively, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. You're no longer enthroned. Sin is no longer enthroned over you. It's dead. Its power has been stripped away. Its power has been pulled out. Now, positively, consider yourself to be alive to God in Christ Jesus. Believe this to be true. A great way to start this, a great first step, is to memorize Romans 6:11. I struggled with sin, and it could be anything. It could be just your sibling being annoying, and you want to, you know? We've all been there. How do you handle that? Well, whenever you feel that temptation come up, whenever you feel that pull of the old Adam, of the flesh, because I hate to tell you, but that flesh is still there. You know, we've been taken out of Adam and placed into Christ, but we still feel that pull. That's not going away. That pull is still there. The power is stripped away, which means we have the ability to say no now, but that pull is not going away. I can tell you it's going to be there probably the rest of your life, unfortunately. So that pull is always going to be there. So temptation will come. So the question is, are you going to believe this? How are you going to handle this? All right, temptation comes up. This is what you should do. No. I am dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And you would be shocked. You would be absolutely shocked how many temptations will just fizzle out right there. Absolutely shocked. I've had waves of temptation that felt consuming, just totally all-encompassing, and it's because I've forgotten who I am. I've forgotten who I am. You're not a mere mortal. I'm not a mere mortal. You are in Christ Jesus, which means you are dead to sin, alive God in Christ Jesus. So that wave comes up. No, I'm dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Whew. So many of them will flatten out. So many of them. Memorize this verse. And in a time of trouble, when temptation comes up, quote it. Number two, another thing you can do to help you believe this. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I know who I am in Christ. I know I understand that. I'm not ignorant of that. Help me to believe this. Help me to claim it. You know that Roman centurion who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Or I was actually just a Jewish guy, but Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's an appropriate prayer to ask, to pray sometimes. But you got to act. You got to claim this. You got to believe it to be true. This is access through faith. You must appropriate this. You must take it and apply it to your life. You must claim it. We must believe God's word more than our past experiences. Our past experiences tell us that this is not true. Our past experiences tell us that we will still be defeated by sin, but that is not who you are. Do not let your past experience dictate your theology or dictate truth. The word of God must dictate truth. The word of God must dictate what you believe. All right, so why do we still sin? Why do we still sin with that? Well, I want to give another quick illustration. I want to clarify, this is not original with me, this illustration at all. It was original with a man named Stuart Briscoe, and then it's in that book that I was mentioning. So why do we still sin? Well, you've been conditioned. You have been conditioned to say yes to sin and no to God. You have been conditioned. So picture a man in the military, this young man, all right, he wanted to get free from his parents. He's like, I am sick and tired of making my bed when they tell me to. If you make your bed, we all know you don't. But hey, I didn't make my bed till I got married. So that's, anyway. This young man wants independence. So naturally, he decides, you know, it's a great way. I don't want a teacher telling me what to do. I don't want to do homework. I'm going to go join the military, right? Okay, yeah, I know. So this young man, he's there in the military, and he's just kind of wanting to do his thing, and then he meets his drill sergeant, right? And his drill sergeant is, you better pick that up right now! And guess what he has to do? He has to pick it up right now, right? That drill sergeant completely controls him. He says go, you go. He says jump, you say how high, right? Yeah? That drill sergeant completely controls him. He's conditioning his behavior. All right, so this man, he fights in the military. After 7 years of service, he's honorably discharged. All right, he doesn't know what to do with his life after being honorably discharged. So he decides to go and work in a shop near to the military base that he worked in. Okay? Guess who he sees in the grocery store? That drill sergeant. And guess what happens when he's there? Cadet snaps to attention. Why? Because he's been conditioned. Snaps to attention. Take my groceries and take them to my car. Guess what he does? Takes the groceries, takes them to the car, right? Because he's conditioned. He's conditioned. He's never said no to this. He's conditioned. All right. So this is what the drill sergeant. This is what the cadet does. This is what the man does. He reads his discharge papers. I have been honorably discharged from the United States military. I've been honorably discharged from the United States military. I've been honorably discharged from the United States military. All right, so 2 weeks go by, and guess who he sees in the laundromat? Drill sergeant. So he's like feels that need to snap to attention, but he says, no. I've been honorably discharged from the United States military. Guess what that drill sergeant does? He gets all mad. He's like, you better do this. You've got to do this. He's putting pressure on him, tons and tons and tons of pressure on him to say, do what he tells him to do. But guess what happens? He says, no, I've been honorably discharged from the United States military. You don't have authority over me anymore. drill sergeant has to leave. You know why? Because this man's true. This man's telling the truth. Same is true for you and I. We have that past experience. We've been conditioned. Conditioned to say yes to sin. But you now have the ability in Christ to say no to sin and yes to God. Another thing, it's easy to believe half of this. It's easy to do half of this. Yes, I'm dead to sin. Temptation is gone. Where did it go? Mentally, you're like, oh, if I like sneak around here, am I going to find, like, where did it go? Don't do that. If the thought goes, if temptation goes, do not chase it. It's gone. What you do is you're dead to sin. Now, focus on who you are in Christ. You say, I'm dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That goes away. Now say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I am dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you have set me free from the power of sin, that sin has been stripped away of its power. I can say no to it. Thank you. Focus on the Lord. Don't focus on your sin. Don't focus on the temptation. That's just a recipe for disaster. All right, one more reason. One more reason we sin. All right. The truth is that we can know truth, we can believe it to be true, and then we can actively decide to sin. Willfully sinning. How do we combat this? Well, the passage keeps going. 13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. All right. So how do we combat our will? How do we combat our desires? Well, first of all, once again, this is still an act of faith. I want to be very clear that you cannot do this in your own strength. Because if you try to just change your will and go combat your will, you will fail. This must be done in belief, must be done in faith. Lord, I am trusting you to present myself to you alive to God. I'm trusting you to present myself as an instrument for righteousness. So just like that man had presented himself continually to his drill sergeant, so we too, we've conditioned ourselves. We've presented ourselves conditionally, continually to sin. So do not go on presenting. It's in the continual tense in Greek. So it's the present tense. So it's an ongoing habit. This is habitual. This is something we continually do. So he's saying, do not daily present yourself to sin. Do not continually give in to this temptation. But instead, by faith, present yourself to God. Seek after God. You know, here's the truth. You can't just push aside something. Something else will fill it. It's like a vacuum, basically. You remove this one sin, something other sin will fill it. You remove this other sin, some other sin will fill it. Do not present yourself to that sin, but what? Present yourself to God. So what does that mean? That is a continual act of daily seeking after God. This is the same word found in Romans 12:1. Present yourselves as living sacrifices, right? That's an offering. So daily, then, present yourself to God. Seek after him. Pray. Get your eyes off of this issue and get your eyes onto your wonderful and beautiful Savior. If you want to change your will, if you want to combat your desire, you've got to decide to seek after the Lord. And you've got to, by faith, seek him, knowing that he is the only one who will ever help you. All right, how can we practically do that? Actually, don't put yourself in places where you are prone to sin. All right? That sounds pretty reasonable, but let me explain what I mean by that. Let's get practical here. Let's say you are on TikTok or Instagram Reels or YouTube. And you know that being on that app has caused you to lust in the past or compare yourself to other people and feel bad about yourself. Don't go there. Delete the app. I know that sounds terrible to all of you. Believe me, I've done it, and it's freeing. Don't go there. Don't put yourself in that place where temptation is going to overwhelm you. Let's say that in your room, like if you go in your room with the door shut, and that is just breeding ground for temptation for you, leave the door open if you're going to go in your room. Or don't go in your room. Go outside, you know? So that's the negative. Once again, do not go on presenting yourself sin. Positive. Present yourself consistently, face to face to the Savior. Seek after him. Take away that time. So let's say you're struggling with, you want to go to TikTok, you really feel that urge, that entertainment. Don't go there. That really causes you to sin. Don't go there. Instead, take that time and pray. Take that time, seek after the Lord. That's a pulling your eyes, pulling your affection, pulling your attention onto the Lord. That's what it means to present yourself. Present yourself face to face with your Savior. Consistently seek time with him. So, know who you are in Christ. Know, this combats ignorance, that you are what? Dead to sin. You've been taken out of Adam. You've been placed into Christ. Believe it to be true. Lord, help me believe. Memorize that verse. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, act on it by faith. Act on it in faith. This is not a will decision. You will not do this by your own power, but there is a Spirit who helps us. Romans 8 goes further into details in this. That's why the really a beautiful book, my favorite book in the whole Bible. Romans 8 goes into this, that there is the Spirit of God is in you to help you, to combat sin. You must do this by faith through the power of the Spirit, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Present yourself daily to God in prayer and seeking him. Don't present yourself to sin anymore. That's not who you are. That's done. That's been stripped of its power. Present yourself daily to God in prayer and seeking after him. That's where victory comes. I can testify that I'm far from perfect. Do we still sin? Yes, you will. You're not going to be perfect in this life. But this combats habitual sin. Going back to the beginning, I was telling you about that sin that I had struggled with. Well, that's gone. It's totally gone because the Lord showed me this. Am I perfect in this? No. Do we all struggle? Yes. But there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, lasting victory, to defeat those sins that you thought you never could defeat. I'm testifying to you that it is true and it happens. Know who you are in Christ. Believe it to be true. Count on it as true. Claim it as true. And in faith, by the power of the Spirit, present yourself to God daily in seeking him and in prayer. Go to the Lord. Ask him, Lord, help me. I want to do this. Help me to do this. Remember where you are. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. You're right there because you're in Christ. You're right there so you can fellowship with him. You can pray to him. Go to him in honesty. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Help me to believe this to be true and give me the strength to present myself to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have made us new, that you have given us new life. Lord Jesus, I pray that for me, I would claim this more and more. And Lord, for these kids, Lord, that they would claim it more and more. Lord, and if they aren't of you, I pray that you would, Lord, show them that they must be baptized into you, placed into you, and that they would accept you in faith. Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name.